Chakra 3, the solar plexus chakra.
So great. Welcome, everyone. This is tapping for the chakras using the Reef Method chakras. And so as I talk about Chakra 3 today, again, what I'll be sharing is my understanding of Chakra 3, learning it directly from Rhys Thomas and the way that he teaches it in the Rhys Thomas Institute of Energy Medicine. I'm not an expert in the chakras. I'm fascinated by them. But again, in my little world, when I learn something like this, I say, how can I immediately start applying this through my modality, which is tapping, to really get to significant blocks and move some real energy? We've already done in previous classes the first and second chakra. So if you're jumping in on this one, absolutely no problem. You're going to get lots of benefits. And if it makes you curious, you can always go back and get the previous recordings. So I'm going to start by talking about the third chakra, talking about some of the vows in the conflicts, meaning the negative vows, that we make around the third chakra. And then we're going to do some tapping based on what's resonating with you guys, how they're feeling with you, how they're resonating with you. We'll pick a few and we'll do some tapping to clear some of these conflicts around the third chakra. So to kind of get started, what is the third chakra? And so the third chakra is located in our solar plexus, and it represents our strength of character, our ego, our individuality. And so here's a real cool sentence about the third chakra. Personal power, self-confidence, self-esteem lead to non-dominating power. So when the third chakra is in balance, it's your power center. It's where you carry your self-confidence and self-esteem. And in truly, when we're in our power, it's a non-dominating kind of power. So many of us are very familiar with the feeling of somebody who uses dominating power. And so the third chakra really honors that kind of power. So our third chakra is where we come up from the first and second chakra, and we recognize that we are a one of a kind. That if you use your sixth chakra to look out at the 4 billion people in the world, you could see that there's no one else like you, that looks like you, that feels like you, that thinks like you, that experiences the world. And there never has been from the beginning of time, and there never will be. So as we recognize how unique we are, that triggers our life purpose, that our life purpose is totally related to our unique nature. When you look at everything in your life that makes you unique, you are seeing your third chakra. And so third chakra, because it's our power center, is where we take our power and we take action. So it's kind of like where you take action from on your deepest desires. It's also your willpower. And so when we think of the positive use of willpower, when we use our willpower to let go of obsessions or let go of addictions or let go of wounding, or we use our willpower to say, I'm going to keep being conscious. I'm going to keep noticing when I'm going off on a tangent and going into my dark side. And I'm going to use my willpower to actually bring some energy together to keep being conscious. You know, that's one of the ways I use my willpower. So when we think about our third chakra, it's how often do you freely allow yourself to be you and to enjoy that? Or how often do you suppress your desire and the uniqueness of you, the uniqueness of your birthright, of who you were born to be, so that you can conform in some way? Last month on the profile call, we talked about the life purpose profile called the team player people pleaser. And so third chakra is the dominant chakra of somebody whose life purpose it is to be a team player. and in their dark to be a people pleaser. So the vows around the third chakra are going to be around boundaries and people pleasing. So I'm going to read off some of the vows, the negative or what we call the defensive vows at the third chakra. Some of these vows and the behaviors that they lead to are some of the most debilitating when it comes to business and money. So I want you to hear what they sound like. The first one is always around, I vow to be who I'm supposed to be or who I need to be, not who I truly am. I vow to be a people pleaser. I vow to live the truth that I'm not as good as other people and that I have to earn my worth by giving, sacrificing, taking care of. Okay. On the other side of it is I vow to never surrender. I vow to get to never be like my family. I vow to that everything has to be my way or the highway. So it's using that power center in the negative. Or I vow to be invisible. It's not safe for me to be seen. So I vow to keep my true unique nature hidden, invisible. And some of the other beliefs that go with these vows are other people matter more, which is the vow to say, I'm not as worthy as other people. Other people matter more. Other people's needs matter more. So compulsive giving, taking care of, compulsive, come second, I come third, I come last in my life. When I work with someone who has these issues, this often comes up around weight loss. When I work with someone who really wants to lose weight, and what we end up coming up against is, if for me to actually lose weight and take all the steps that I would have to take, which is making a plan, eating healthier, getting myself to the gym, getting more rest, we start painting a picture that conflicts with all of these people pleaser vows. And it looks incredibly selfish to take the time, the energy, the attention, the focus on something that just benefits me being a little slimmer. And so that resistance is where they get stuck. And the way that it sounds is around weight loss is, I don't have time to do all that. That's not going to fit in my life. I'm running all over the place. So this is one of the ways I see that this persona come up that says, I say that I want to lose weight, but I don't want anything else in my life to change. I want to keep giving and giving and doing and doing and putting myself last. So my body is going to rebel and hold on to that weight. With money issues, it comes up around the not charging enough, the doing too much, the giving away our services, the feeling totally guilty when someone pays us, giving somebody else the credit, never really letting ourselves take the credit, underplaying or downplaying our strengths. Okay, so I want to check in with you guys on some of these vows. Okay, so I'm going to go through them again. I vow to sacrifice, to serve. I vow to be who I'm supposed to be, not who I truly am. I vow that other people's needs will always come before mine. Or I vow to never surrender, to silently resist all the time, to feel stuck. And so just give me some feedback. How is that feeling? How are those resonating with us?
Margaret, it's Lori. The two that really resonated with me are to never be like my family or it's not safe for me to be seen.
So when we've made a vow to never be like them,
right,
we don't actually get to be us. Because we can only be the us that's the opposite of them. Okay, so that's a really big one. And then what was it? It's not safe to be seen? Okay.
Margaret?
Yes.
Marjorie, downplaying my strength, not charging enough, giving away, those are all resonate.
Yeah.
Giving someone else credit.
Okay.
This is Shelley. I think the people pleaser and not being as good as other people.
And so what kind of actions do you see that translate into?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh, being stuck. I feel stuck.
Okay. And so the third chakra, as I said, is the team player, people pleaser profile. And what somebody who's a people pleaser will always say, one of the things that they dominantly feel in their life is stuck, is thwarted. That other people are thwarting me all the time, that I'm always stuck. They will often say, I'm not angry, I just resent it. So resentment is big. So when you feel resentful in that moment, you're in a people pleaser. Okay, so your third chakra is sort of out of whack there. The other dominant feeling is guilt. All the profiles that really feels guilt is a team player, people pleaser. So when you're feeling really guilty, like you just said now to someone, and now you feel guilty, you know you're in a people pleaser mode. Right? So there's something going on around your third chakra programming or vow that you've taken. The rest of the profiles really aren't wired to feel guilt. Okay. And I mean guilt. There's legitimate regret when we do something wrong and we make it right. I mean the kind of guilt of, you know, I just said no to something. The extra helping of guilt that we like to experience. That goes on and on and on and never ends. Okay. So anybody else? And which ones of these are resonating?
Margaret, could I just ask a quick question? So you can have, just say, difficulty then in your chakra without it that being your primary profile. Is that correct?
Yeah, and everybody plays a people pleaser sometimes. The people pleaser issue is up for everybody because we've all learned that to act like a people pleaser or a team player, which is the good side, it's the focus on other people, that real compassion, that real caring. It's actually a really beautiful thing. And we learn that in our families often, it's a safer way to be, right? We're the helping child, the good child. We're under the radar child. We're not asking for anything child, right? If we can be a really good team player, people pleaser, we can pretty much thrive in any company. So everybody plays there. So to honor what the third chakra is calling us to do, and the issues of it, brings you to a state of personal power for action in your life more than the other chakras. It's really about taking that personal power in action. Okay.
Margaret, can I say something?
Sure.
Hi, this is Christiane.
Hello.
Hi. Something about not wanting to challenge somebody else's ego, like if I come into my strength and in my power, that somehow it would take away from their strength and their power.
Okay. So it would disempower people.
Mm-hmm. Or that, you know, when you kind of know that somebody likes to be boosted, and if you yourself rise up, then they won't get that. So it's kind of like a dynamic I think that I played into since I was young, which would be like the child-parent relationship where the parent has the power. And you know that if you keep giving it, you'll like stay safe or you'll get your needs met, but you don't really.
Right. So that's another kind of not safe for me to
mm-hmm.
really stand
right.
up. Okay.
Yes.
Mm. Safety comes up a lot around this one. Safety comes up a lot. When I've done this in the school, which is how I learn these processes, they bring me in to do tapping around these kind of issues, and I have to figure it out. When I did this tapping with the second year healer trainer students, there were people running out of the room because that's how nauseous they were getting, because we were tapping into safety issues around the third chakra, and they feel it right in their stomach. So just warning you. Sometimes you get more than you bargain for on a class with me. Okay, so we're going to start with this vow to never be like someone. So I want everyone to tune into whether it's your family or somebody in your life that you see carry power in a really negative way. So maybe it's someone from the past, like a family, or maybe it's an ex. And so I want everyone to tune into this vow, almost like you've made a vow to never be like that. Okay, so I want everyone to say, I will never be like them. And just notice how that feels. Does everyone get somebody like that? And so give me some characteristics of the them that we vow never to be like.
Critical.
Oh. Cold. Selfish.
Judgmental. Fragile.
Emotionally distant.
What was it?
Emotionally distant.
Okay.
Lack and scarcity.
Controlling.
They believed in lack and scarcity?
Mm-hmm. Helpless. Never having
mean.
Enough.
Okay, mean. Did I hear never having enough?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, and was that on the insatiable side or just the scarcity side?
Scarcity side.
Okay.
Dominating.
Okay.
Critical.
Okay, so a lot of critical and self and judgmental. This person becomes a shadow. Okay, so we're going to do some tapping right through the points. Does anyone want to be my echo today?
Sure.
Okay, good. You're coming in good. Is that Marjorie?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Your connection is always nice and clear for me.
Okay, we're close.
This is Shelley. I have a question before we start. If I can't really think of anybody, should I just pretend?
Yeah, sometimes someone will pop into your head.
Okay.
But so when you think about your family, their money situation, every aspect of how you grew up, it's looking okay to you?
It's not like awful. I'm not feeling anything really bad.
Okay. And so, you know, even if it's like a 3 or a 4, pick something. It's always okay that when we tap, if the words are sort of over the top for you.
Okay.
This happens a lot in live workshops where you'll say, well, this one isn't my issue. And then you start tapping along and all of a sudden you're like, I was thought I'd be a 2 and now I'm a 10.
Okay, I'll watch for it.
So we're going to just start by tapping right through the points. Okay, there they are.
There they are.
Critical and judgmental.
Critical and judgmental.
Mean.
Mean.
Dominating.
Dominating.
Lack and scarcity.
Lack and scarcity.
And I made a vow.
And I made a vow.
A third chakra vow.
Third chakra vow.
To never be like them.
To never be like them.
Anything like them.
Anything like them.
I will not be like you.
I will not be like you.
I will be nothing like you.
I will be nothing like you.
I will define myself.
I will define myself.
Against you.
Against you.
I can't be anything like you.
I can't be anything like you.
I won't let myself.
I won't let myself.
I totally judge you.
I totally judge you.
And I should.
And I should.
So critical.
So critical.
Hurtful.
Hurtful.
Selfish.
Selfish.
Dominating.
Dominating.
Just mean.
Just mean.
And all your scarcity and lack.
And all your scarcity and lack.
I totally judge it.
I totally judge it.
Who you were.
Who you were.
The way you lived.
Where you lived.
And I vowed.
And I vowed.
To never be like you.
To never be like you.
Which means you're still controlling me.
Which means you're still controlling me.
Because I can't be all of me.
Because I can't be all of me.
When there's so many things I can never be.
When there's so many things I can never be.
I honor this old vow.
I honor this old vow.
I honor all the reasons I took it.
I honor all the reasons I took it.
And all the energy it's holding.
And all the energy it's holding.
Stuck in my third chakra.
Stuck in my third chakra.
And I'm open to healing it.
And I'm open to healing it.
Okay, and take a nice deep breath. As sensible as it seems to make that vow, do we see the inherent conflict in it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And there's gifts in every one of those shadows. Every one of those shadows has a gift. Okay. So when we make a vow to never be like a person or a group of people, we absolutely cut off parts of ourselves. Okay, and that's really the core shadow work. If you get the shadow effect book that I emailed about, you'll hear that in the very similar tapping in the recording. Okay, so how did it feel tapping through that? Any resistance to letting that go?
Margaret, this is Cynthia, and for me it felt a little bit like, oh, that's what it is. It was sort of like a remembering, like something that had been on the surface of my consciousness just barely, but I hadn't really thought about it or dealt with it. And as for me, it was actually pretty peaceful. It was like, oh, of course, that's what that is.
Okay. So how many people who said lack and scarcity see that in their life right now? They're replaying it.
Yep.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And so it just means that you're still fighting the battle against that.
Mm-hmm.
By refusing to be it, we have to replay the battle. And remember, with our power center, it's where we can have a lot of energy behind, you know, oh, no, you didn't. I am so not going to be that. I am so not going to go there. I will never let this go. Which means we're still fighting that battle of differentiating ourselves from them. But as we try to do that, there's a fight in that.
Well, and we're complaining about them being critical, but we're being critical of them.
That's why it's the shadow there, because we've got, it's usually the thing that is a part of your shadow. Because whenever someone says they're really critical, I know that you have a huge inner critic. The word that you pick is the word that's your particular shadow. Someone who sees the dominating person, they've got an issue standing up to power and owning their own power, right? Because I never want to be like that.
So when you say controlling, you never want to own that part of yourself where you control things.
Yeah, and is there a gift in being a little controlling?
Yeah.
Are there times in our life where we have to take control?
Absolutely.
Right. So we're going to do a positive round on this, and then we're going to move on to the other issue that's a little more intense, okay? And so tapping through the points again. There they are.
There they are.
I've spent a lifetime.
I've spent a lifetime.
Analyzing.
Analyzing.
How justified I am.
How justified I am.
In refusing to be like that.
In refusing to be like that.
In judging them.
In judging them.
For doing it all wrong.
For doing it all wrong.
Part of me likes to keep this battle fresh.
Part of me likes to keep this battle fresh.
And I recreate it.
And I recreate it.
In my own life.
My own life.
And then I look at it.
And then I look at it.
And get really angry.
Get really angry.
That I now have lack and scarcity.
That I now have lack and scarcity.
That I'm now the critical one.
That I'm now the critical one.
That I'm now the distant one.
That I'm now the distant one.
I totally honor.
I totally honor.
Who they were.
Who they were.
Their challenges.
Their challenges.
Their baggage.
Their baggage.
It was their way.
It was their way.
And I'm open to letting it go.
And I'm open to letting it go.
So I can just be me.
So I can just be me.
Without measuring against them.
Without measuring against them.
There's a part of me.
There's a part of me.
That's pretty critical.
That's pretty critical.
That's pretty selfish.
That's pretty selfish.
That needs to be more controlling.
That needs to be more controlling.
I wrestle with my belief in scarcity and lack.
I wrestle with my belief in scarcity and lack.
I'm open to honoring me.
I'm open to honoring me.
In my life.
In my life.
My dark and light.
My dark and light.
My issues.
My issues.
I get to choose.
I get to choose.
The parts of me.
The parts of me.
That are really me.
That are really me.
That have gifts for me.
That have gifts for me.
I'm open to letting go.
I'm open to letting go.
Of this comparison.
Of this comparison.
This vow.
This vow.
This refusal to be all of me.
This refusal to be all of me.
Because I might look like them.
Because I might look like them.
I am unique.
I am unique.
I am me.
I am me.
There's never been anyone like me.
There's never been anyone like me.
I totally honor who I am.
I totally honor who I am.
And I let go who they are.
And I let go who they are.
Okay. Take a nice deep breath. How did that feel? Was that okay to say? And I want you to kind of picture whoever you were picturing again and see how they look to you now. See how sometimes that picture will show you a little bit more how you're feeling about it.
For me, Margaret, I saw in the beginning like tentacles really close to me, attaching me to this person. And then as we began doing the second round, it was as if I saw them go way in the background and become much smaller.
Good. The words that I used in that tapping and tapping through the points, it's designed to do exactly what you just described. Even saying the words, I'm just going to let them be there with their issues that come from their life. I use that process over and over and over to create separation and distance. Okay, and it always works the same. So that's great. You see energetically what's going on, which is the energetic hooks. Right?
Right.
And where were they hooking you when those tentacles were coming across?
Right in the side of my stomach, like right on my side.
Yeah, it's usually right in the second and third chakra. People who are very dominating, they kind of hook us right there.
Yeah.
Their will center comes out and dominates.
Yeah. It feels like
That's why we call it the bully belly. Bullies who have that big, huge barrel chest, we call it the bully belly. Huge third chakra.
Oh.
Using it to dominate.
Right. Butt belly.
Yeah, it's one of those high sort of third, fourth chakra bully belly. Whereas a real, true team player, they do carry their energy right in the middle, but you look at them and you want to hug them. Someone who's very third chakra, they're the huggers, you know, and you feel grounded, you feel great with them. They want to know how you are, and they often do. They carry their energy sort of right in the middle. Sometimes they're kind of block-shaped, right? But very different from the bully belly where you come out with the third chakra and you dominate. Okay, so how do they look to you now? Anyone else got feedback on that?
Margaret, I just wanted to say that I think there's a real possibility of final forgiveness in this. I've done a lot of work on this over the years, but this is like the last piece. It's really working very beautifully.
Okay. Wonderful. And so we know that something shifts. With forgiveness, it's when the seventh chakra opens and we see that there's nothing to forgive, that they were doing their best.
Yes, that's exactly the feeling I got.
That because of their lives. And it doesn't mean that there wasn't real hurt in you, which you can process. It doesn't mean you didn't play a real price and have real loss because of it. But it's once you process that, it's that seeing that it kind of had nothing to do with you.
Yeah, it's very freeing.
So I want you to look at the gift of the situation now. Because of those people in your life, what did you learn about you that was positive? What did they make you find within you that was positive? What did you learn about you that's been a gift?
I guess if I could respond to that, I'd say I did discover my individuality, but at the same time, I hid it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a double-edged thing.
Yeah.
What I learned is that I didn't need to operate that way in order to have love and success in my life.
To me, it was kindness.
Yeah, it's usually...
To me, it was a kick in the butt to go take action. That he would present an issue, and I'd look at it, and then I would realize he was giving me the inspiration to then take action on it.
Yeah, it's usually just what we need for our life purpose, as hard of a lesson as that can be.
I don't get this, though. What about an emotionally distant parent, a mom? I don't quite get how that, you know, what is it?
What would the gift in that be?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I could take some guesses, but typically the gift is something around, I realized how important it was to recognize that I have real needs and real feelings and a real calling to have those feelings honored. How important feelings are.
Okay.
How important nurturing is.
Yeah.
You know, we become a parent and we love and nurture my kids because it's what I learned is so incredibly important.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's what happened. I just couldn't.
Every generation surpasses their parents in consciousness. You've already broken that chain that got handed down to you by being emotionally there for your kids.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful.
Margaret, for me, when you talked about gifts, what came up was sadness, which was interesting. And it came up in the form of I've been digging so hard in my life in this area that wasn't right, that was inaccurate, that I was so invested in this area for so long. So it just when you talked about what the gift is, it's interesting. It just brought up sadness.
Like I wasted my time?
Yeah, like I thought this was it. Like I thought it was heading in the right direction, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
like
the sadness for me in that means that in that moment that you recognize that you let go of that process, you immediately went to self-judgment. Holy crap, I've been going in the wrong direction all these years. What a waste. Okay. And so the second we do that, we break our own hearts, right? So we start to say, I should have known better back then, which your heart closes when you do that, right? So the gift would be around when you look at how much time that you spent focused on that, there's something about your essential beingness that is incredibly persistent. And resilient. Mm-hmm. And you kept going and you said, no, I am going to solve this.
Right.
Right? That there's an unbelievable strength in you that you can harness.
Excellent. Yeah.
Okay? So that in your power, what would that strength, what's the gift of somebody who is that tenacious?
courage and determination.
Yeah, in the face of the unknown, you had no idea what the result was going to be, what the payoff would be, but you're a driver.
Yeah.
Is that a gift? Can it be used as a gift? Right, absolutely. So I want to switch to some of this other issue, which is around it's not safe to be seen. And I don't just mean seen. I mean really be seen as me, my uniqueness, who I really am. There's two sides of it. There's it's not safe, and there's I downright refuse. And so I want everyone to imagine, we have to turn up some heat on this. You're standing there and you're surrounded by your family and people you know. Okay, and if it's a business sense, then maybe people that you work with. And you're saying, you're looking at all of them and you're saying, you have no idea how brilliant I am. You have no idea the shining light that I am. So how does that picture look? How does it feel?
Opens up my heart, and I feel a lot of seventh chakra a blessing.
And how are they looking at you?
In amazement, with their mouth hanging open.
Okay. Does anyone look disempowered?
This is Shelley. I'm scared.
Okay.
I feel kind of scared too.
So we're gonna tap on the fear because that's really most commonly what comes up. So I want you to both look at how it's feeling for you and how they are looking at you. So when you're feeling the person who said, I feel scared, what do the people look like to you? How are they looking back at you? How are they reacting?
They're silent and not judging, just in awe. Oh, I've never had that happen. They are in awe of me.
So your picture is looking good. So you're
yeah.
all set. So you can tap along or not. Okay. And so for
put
someone who's feeling...
A whole crowd of people.
Right. You got to mentally videotape that.
Yeah, right?
And so for those who are feeling not safe, what's the crowd looking at you like? How do they look? How are they reacting?
Disbelief. What's really interesting is they became smaller.
Okay, so I've disempowered them. Is that how that feels?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, and I heard bullying.
No, disbelief.
Making fun of me.
Disbelief, okay. And so what's in disbelief? And so actually taunting, making fun of. What's in disbelief?
There's no response.
So what's the feeling in that? Are they pulling away from you? Are they?
They're not engaging. Yeah.
Okay. Is that rejection?
Yeah.
And I think they're also pulling their love away.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyone have people accusing them to being, selfish or tooting your own horn or?
They think that I think I'm better than them now.
They're laughing.
So we have and this is really what I commonly hear, a whole gamut, right? And so this is all of your programming around it's not safe to actually be me, which means we come to that other vow that says, because of all this, I vow to be who I'm supposed to be. Who I need to be, who they want me to be, not who I truly am. Okay, so when we think about heart-centered businesses and conscious businesses that we all want to run, you know, this new trend of, and it's not really a trend, it's an evolution of self-employed people, small business owners, people in the helping professions, who want to have these wonderful, heart-centered, conscious businesses. Does a business like that suffer when you're pretending to be who you're not? you've made a vow to never actually show your true gifts.
Margaret, can I say something?
Sure.
When I was little, I didn't realize how intuitive or how kinesthetic I was, and I would get attention from men, and I felt I was violated, but I didn't realize it was just energetically.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was when it wasn't okay for me to be seen. And the thing that I saw was just kind of me hiding in the closet in the darkness where I was safe.
Yeah, and so this is a real big one for you, right? So this runs the gamut, right? Because the wound that's there needs to be honored, needs to be processed. So there might be more tapping, you know, of course, for you to do on the real specifics of that. Okay, so when we're doing this next round of tapping, you know, you're going to be tuning into that older picture.
Okay.
Because the reality is when we honor that wound and we can let that go, we come back to the present moment where you're not a little girl anymore, right? It's just that you're unconsciously, that's what's playing in the background. That's the level of seriousness, right? I'm going to be invaded. It's a level of seriousness that adds much more power to this, I can never, ever really be me. I can never really shine. It is totally not safe.
I flashed into myself as a cute, a short woman or a short girl at the time. And even though I was liked, I didn't feel I was being taken seriously. Oh, she's so cute. And it left me uncomfortable about wanting to be me because I wasn't taken seriously. I was seen as a flirt or a cute.
Yeah, so those, and depending on the age, you know, often those are the things that happen right when we're sort of developing that third chakra,
mm-hmm.
right? So little conflicting images and issues around us. And so, like I said, they run the gamut from really intense to sort of medium to, you know, to small, light, two or three things. Either way, we don't get to be all of us.
Yeah.
Right? So just tapping, everyone can star six and mute except Marjorie, and we'll tap again. There I am.
There I am.
Trying to own my power.
Trying to own my power.
Stepping out as me.
Stepping out as me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It is not safe.
It is not safe.
They're coming at me.
They're coming at me.
They're bullying me.
They're bullying me.
Taunting me.
Taunting me.
Threatening me with their silence.
Threatening me with their silence.
Rejecting me.
Rejecting me.
It is very clear.
It is very clear.
I've made a huge mistake.
I've made a huge mistake.
I feel them pulling away.
I feel them pulling away.
Maybe I'm disempowering them.
Maybe I'm disempowering them.
I just hurt them all.
I just hurt them all.
Or maybe I've angered them.
Or maybe I've angered them.
And they're taunting me.
And they're taunting me.
Laughing at me.
Laughing at me.
Humiliating me.
Humiliating me.
Threatening me.
Threatening me.
They want me to stop.
They want me to stop.
This is not okay for me.
This is not okay for me.
There is no way I can handle this.
There is no way I can handle this.
I'm terrified.
I'm terrified.
I'm frozen with terror.
I'm frozen with terror.
This is not safe.
It is not safe.
It's never been safe.
It's never been safe.
I have wounds about this.
I have wounds about this.
Real wounds.
Real wounds.
It'll probably never be safe.
It'll probably never be safe.
Because I never really recovered.
Because I never really recovered.
I cannot be me.
I cannot be me.
I need to pull this back.
I need to pull this back.
I better apologize.
I got to apologize.
I'm reeling it all back in.
I'm reeling it all back in.
I know how to play who they need me to be.
I know how to play who they need me to be.
I feel stuck, but safe.
I feel stuck, but safe.
It's not safe to be me.
It's not safe to be me.
Not out in the world.
Not out in the world.
Not unique and brilliant.
Not unique and brilliant.
The world does not want that.
The world does not want that.
All this fear.
All this fear.
In these old beliefs.
In these old beliefs.
Wrapped around my third chakra.
Wrapped around my third chakra.
They kept me safe.
They kept me safe.
I needed them back then.
I needed them back then.
I totally honor them.
I totally honor them.
And I'm open to healing this.
And I'm open to healing them.
Okay, take a nice deep breath. I just want you to look at that picture again and see how intense it looks.
Oh.
Okay, so how does the picture look now? Is anyone feeling it down in their stomach?
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody still with me?
Yes, Margaret, I'm very, very dizzy.
That probably means that this was a little too much and you went up in your head about it.
Okay.
Okay. It's like, that's not safe to feel. I'm going to go way up in my head about it. Although sometimes it just processes all the way up. And so, you know, when we, as Rhys Thomas teaches, you know, the wounding and the vows of the lower chakras create the upper chakras. And so the upper chakras just live the truth of the lower chakras. So when we have this wounding, we look out at other people in the world with our sixth chakra, and what do we see? We see bullies. We see taunting. We see predators. We see disempowered people. So our sixth chakra just got colored with that wound. And we come up to our fifth chakra and we speak the truth of that. Okay, we come up to our fourth chakra and the way that we love reflects that wound. This is why these lower three are so important. So how intense is it now? Sometimes it gets a little more specific or a little bit calmer. So what do you see in that picture now? How do the people look? How are they looking at you?
I got one that I know that I probably need to clear for myself, which was it feels safer and more open in the space, but I also got, I'm not going to speak. Like, that's where I really withheld. I'm not going to speak.
So I always talk about there's two sides. There's the real hurt, the real wounding, and then there's the I frickin' refuse.
Yeah.
Okay? And so when one of the vows of the third chakra is to silently resist. Right? People pleasers are stubborn. So you're using your will there to resist.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're not imposing your will on other people, but you're using your will to say, I am so not going to tell you who I am.
Like a huge energetic withholding.
Yeah. Right. Is that good in any part of our life? You know, we say, you know, the themes are around business and money and everything I do, but it's really more than that, right? So an energetic withholding of yourself in your life. As you feel that, I want you to look at the people in the picture that are looking at you, and how are you looking at them now? Are you looking at them with some judgment?
No, a wall has dropped. There's no barrier.
This is Shelley. It's almost like now they're willing to listen a little bit, because I think I'm still around a five, but it wasn't like, I think when we started this, I think I was around a 10. But now that's like, oh, well, let's hear what you have to say instead of, huh, no way.
Okay, so what's the downside of them saying, well, we'll hear what you have to say? What's the possible negative in that?
They still don't believe me. They need more information.
Okay.
it sounds like the beginning of a cold call in business.
Yeah. Right? Because we start to feel, if we're getting close to speaking, usually what comes up next is the judgment, the self-judgment. They're going to ask for more. They're going to ask me to prove it. What if I get stuck and I'm not smart enough?
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, all of that. Yeah.
So this is where you are now seeing your own judgment. This is the downside of your inner self-critic, because you're projecting that right onto everybody else. Okay. And so I also wanted to see, is anybody looking at the audience more judgingly now, where you're saying to them, well, who are you to judge me? How dare you be so mean and judgmental?
No.
Okay.
All about us. Really is all about us. Okay, let's do another round of tapping on that.
Even though I probably could speak.
Why should I?
Why should I?
They're just going to judge me.
They're just going to judge me.
Pick me apart.
Pick me apart.
They're all a bunch of skeptics.
All a bunch of skeptics.
Maybe they're willing to listen now.
Maybe they're willing to listen now.
But I don't trust them.
But I don't trust them.
I know how judgmental people are.
I know how judgmental people are.
They're going to size me up.
They're going to size me up.
And try to trip me up.
And try to trip me up.
And I'll feel like a fool.
And I'll feel like a fool.
I can't back up these claims of brilliance.
I can't back up these claims of brilliance.
Brilliance isn't my birthright.
Brilliance is not my birthright.
It's something proved and earned.
Something proved and earned.
And I don't judge myself as having done enough yet.
I know, I don't judge myself as having done enough yet.
They could call me on this.
They could call me on this.
And I'll be standing there.
And I'll be standing there.
With my mouth hanging open.
With my mouth hanging open.
Stuck and frozen.
Stuck and frozen.
Like a fraud.
Like a fraud.
They'll judge me.
They'll judge me.
Criticize me.
Criticize me.
Pick me apart.
Pick me apart.
Oh, no, I'm not talking.
I'm not talking.
I refuse to talk.
I refuse to talk.
I'm going to stay silent.
I'm going to stay silent.
And judge all this from afar.
And judge all this from afar.
It's safer for me.
It's safer for me.
Safer from judgment.
Safer from judgment.
If I just withhold myself.
If I just withhold myself.
Let someone else take the spotlight.
Let someone else take the spotlight.
Let someone else put themselves on the line.
Let someone else put themselves on the line.
Let someone else earn the big money.
Let someone else earn the big money.
I'm just going to hold back.
I'm just going to hold back.
That's the smartest thing to do.
That's the smartest thing to do.
It's just not safe.
It's just not safe.
And I know myself.
And I know myself.
I cannot handle criticism.
I cannot handle criticism.
I'll be humiliated and embarrassed.
I'll be humiliated and embarrassed.
I will crumble.
I will crumble.
I can't handle it.
I can't handle it.
I'm not going to talk.
I'm not going to talk.
I'm going to stay silent.
I'm going to stay silent.
And I can be stubborn about this.
And I can be stubborn about this.
You want to see third chakra willpower? I got it.
You want to see third chakra willpower? I got it.
Okay, take a nice deep breath. How did that one feel?
Very authentic.
Yes.
Okay. And so this is really different than a lot of people get to. They'll say, you know, I have a fear of standing out. I have a fear of being successful. I'm afraid of owning my power. And there's truth in that. But underneath it, there's an absolute stubborn refusal. There is a screw that, I know better, refusal. So there's both. There's the real wound that creates the real fear, the real hurt, the real rejection that happened at some point a long time ago. And then there's the screw that refusal. And I also put in there what's really going on, which is to say, I can't handle it. Because if you could handle it, if you trusted yourself enough to know that other people's criticism and judgment doesn't have that much to do with you, because you know who you are, you wouldn't be worried about it. That was a room full of three-year-olds. Would you care what their judgment was? And you showed them your project that you completed and your job and how good you are at what you do. And they said, that's boring.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We wouldn't really be crushed. Okay, so you'd probably be willing to talk to a group of three-year-olds. And so I want everyone to just picture that again. So how does the picture look now?
I understand why sales has been difficult.
Some people have drifted away.
We're all laughing.
Better?
Yeah.
Okay.
They want to listen to me.
So I want you to just be in that picture for a moment. And I want you to imagine that you put your two arms out and with your palms up, and you say to the room, you say, I free you all to have your own opinions. Actually, free them. Like a prophet. I free you all to have your own opinions and to be completely yourself. When we own who we are, we give everyone permission to do the same. That's why it feels so good to be around somebody who's enthusiastically being themselves.
The energy level goes up tremendously. It's a lot of confusion, but it's delightful confusion. But you feel the energy just rising.
Okay, so in that moment, those words, you just stopped judging them.
Yeah.
Margaret, this is great. I'm going to a networking lunch with about 50 women in about an hour.
Okay.
<Good job.
laughs> Nice. Okay, so we're going to do a positive round. And when we talk about the third chakra, you know, we've heard a lot of things here about owning our power. And so the important thing is when we're willing to recognize that we're that unique and actually be uniquely us, we recognize that your life purpose is directly related to that uniqueness. And then that power in that third chakra, that ability to be who you are without all these programmed fears of judgment and I can't handle it and if they judge me, I'll be crushed and it's not safe. When we let those go, we actually take action. It's your action, your power center. All that energy right in the core of you is your action center.
Mm-hmm.
But the positive vow that we take at the third chakra, it's actually not really about taking action and owning our power from a chakra standpoint. The vow is to discover who I am every day. I'm open to discovering the true mystery of who I am, that I'm unique in every moment, that I'm fresh, I'm alive, I'm new, I'm different. So it's a very dynamic, positive choice at the third chakra. Okay, in addition to all these other wonderful things it means about owning our power and taking action. Because the third chakra is about your uniqueness, and that's what your life purpose is connected to. This is why I love Rhys Thomas so much, because he says these things, and I say, that's going to take me a month to process. I've never heard anything like that before about the third chakra in my limited exposure. Okay. And it wouldn't be something that I would think of just from doing this work. I would do a positive round about owning my power, but I wouldn't do a positive round about discovering the true mystery of who I am, to discover who I am every day. Apparently, in his school, when they do a check-in and they say to the teachers, I have no frickin' idea who I am anymore, what the hell's going on in my life. They say, you just became conscious. Okay? Because the goal is to discover who you are every day, that you're always transforming and fresh and alive.
Yes.
And so is in everybody else. Relationship buzzkill is when you go, I know what he's all about. Right? When we look at our partner, we go, oh, yeah, I know all about him. That's when love changes. Okay, so we're going to finish up with a nice positive round. Okay, so tapping through the points again. Even though I've spent a lifetime. Believing that I'm static. And hiding it. Withholding it on purpose. Judging it as not perfect. I totally honor who I am. Completely unique in this world. Unique in every moment. A constantly transforming miracle. The truth is. I am alive. Fresh and new. Different every single day. I am a complete mystery. And I'm open to discovering myself every day. I'm open to honoring who I am. My feelings and my actions. Are totally unique. I'm open to honoring. That my body and soul together. Express my uniqueness. And that's my life purpose. I'm open to the gifts of my third chakra. My power center. My desire to go be me in this world. Which is my life purpose. I totally honor who I am. Unique in every way. Alive and fresh. Transforming in every moment. I am a true one of a kind. And the world absolutely needs me. Needs me to be all of me. I'm open to this for my highest good. And the highest good of everybody I touch in my life. As I own who I am. Full of joy and passion. I give everyone permission to do the same. And that's a beautiful way to love other people. And take a nice deep breath. So I just want you to notice, how did that feel? If there was any resistance to that, like, I'm not that unique.
No.
Any tappable issues that came up in there? But how does it feel? I just want everyone to notice, how did those words feel? And more importantly, how does it feel in your body right now? Where is the energy moving?
Throat and head.
Perfect for you, because talking about being you, you're a fifth chakra charismatic leader, so you're not
really authentic.
You just nailed your energy center. Anybody else?
Mine's the heart.
Okay. And so when you're being totally you, you are a heart-centered person, which means you embody the opposite of criticism. Okay, so remember what I said at the beginning. Again, another Reese Thomas quote that floored me for about a week. The second we criticize ourselves, the heart chakra closes. We literally break our own heart. So when you're really being you, when you're really feeling who you are, you embody that seeing that there's nothing to forgive, that there's a divinity in everyone and everything.
Mm.
Anyone else? How is it feeling?
It's opened up some.
Yeah, and so if this issue was intense for you, it's more of a long-term, you know, lifelong or bigger wound, and so you want to recognize that this is your work to do, is around this issue.
Yeah, I can feel that.
Yeah. So you want to identify the stories, the wounds, the events that add up to this story, that add up to this wound, so that you can tap on them very specifically.
It feels like my whole body is more open from top to bottom.
I have one quick question about the uniqueness of ourselves. Do you think after this tapping we'll start to see signs of that, or how do we bring that in?
Well, we don't actually have to go looking for it. It's there when we let go of the belief that it's not there and the criticism that we're not good enough, that we're not enough. It's already there. It's your body, your mind, your soul, your heart, the way that you love, the gifts that you have. Your life purpose is never a job. It's for you to be you. And so, you know, you might want to do some tapping on just what you expressed, even though I don't believe I'm unique. And I'll believe it when I see it. I'm just me. Like I always like to say, I'm just medium. Okay. So tap on that sort of opposite belief. I'm open to seeing how I'm unique. And if you tap on that and say, even though I believe I'm not unique, I'm open to experiencing my own uniqueness. Somebody in your life from somewhere in the universe, someone will come up to you and say, you know what's so special about you? It's really weird how that happens.
Yeah.
The universe will give it to you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And so I like to ask and let people tune into how it's feeling in their body, how the energy is moving in their body, because that's what's more important than what you're thinking. This is the feeling of energy moving through your body. Remember, most of your thoughts are to protect you from actually feeling this. And so you want to remember what this feels like. And this is the feeling you want to bring to everything you do. The crystal bowl work that Reese does, he uses the crystal bowl meditations to transport people into these feelings. I use the crystal bowls a lot for that because it allows me to transport right into this feeling of my energy moving. But I'd like you to bring your attention to it because this is how the energy is always moving in you, but you don't feel it because of all these thoughts and wounds and stories going on. You're feeling you right now.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
And,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The bonus tapping round for Chakra 3.
So here's how we're going to start doing the tapping on this one. We're actually going to start with a picture of your family, because that's where you learned this. We're hearing a lot of invisible and be who I'm supposed to be. And that came from somewhere, and it comes from our tribe of origin. It's our first chakra programming. So I want you to picture yourself there. Take a nice deep breath. Close your eyes if that's the way you like to visualize. And picture yourself maybe 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. We've done this process before. And put your family there, not just your parents, your brothers and sisters, whoever was there in the house a lot. You know, if there were neighbors or aunts or uncles over a lot, load them all in the room. And so first, I just want everyone to see and note down, how do you look in that picture? And I want you to think about this vow. I've got to be invisible.
I am not going to show my true self here. I can totally feel who they want me to be, and that is safer. So just note down to yourself, what do you see in that picture? How intense does it feel? The child version of you in that picture, how true does all that feel for them? We're going to do some tapping. And so I'm going to use some of the words of it's not safe, which will resonate more for some people than for others. But you just want to relate it to your circumstance. People on these classes have a range from a lot of violence to just a lot of criticism. Both are wounding in different ways. You can also change my words to really fit what resonates more for you too. Okay, so we're just going to tap through the points just like we're looking at the picture. There I am.
There I am.
Invisible in my tribe.
Invisible in my tribe.
I made a vow to be invisible.
I made a vow to be invisible.
And it made sense.
And it made sense.
There I am.
There I am.
Scared.
Scared.
In danger.
In danger.
Being judged.
Being judged.
Being told very clearly.
Being told very clearly.
Who they want me to be.
Who they want me to be.
Being shown very clearly.
Being shown very clearly.
With and without words.
With and without words.
Who I'm supposed to be.
Who I'm supposed to be.
To be safe.
To be safe.
To be accepted.
To be accepted.
To be acceptable.
To be acceptable.
Maybe this made me safer.
Maybe this made me safer.
Maybe this earned me more love and attention.
Maybe this earned me more love and attention.
Maybe it just let me be.
Maybe it just let me be.
Free from criticism or harm.
Free from criticism or harm.
But I see it all.
But I see it all.
It wasn't safe for me.
It wasn't safe for me.
To show my true self.
To show my true self.
There I am.
There I am.
Hiding who I am.
Hiding who I am.
Withholding who I am.
Withholding who I am.
Because it wasn't safe.
Because it wasn't safe.
It wasn't what they wanted.
It wasn't what they wanted.
They were clear about that.
They were clear about that.
There I am.
There I am.
Just a little one.
Just a little one.
But I already figured out.
But I already figured out.
That who I am.
That who I am.
My little feelings.
My little feelings.
My little unique nature.
My little unique nature.
My dreams and fantasies.
My dreams and fantasies.
My brilliance.
My brilliance.
It couldn't be shown.
It couldn't be shown.
Not fully.
Not fully.
I had to keep it hidden.
I had to keep it hidden.
It's not what they wanted.
It's not what they wanted.
Certainly not all of it.
Certainly not all of it.
So I made a vow.
So I made a vow.
To stay invisible.
To stay invisible.
And create.
And create.
A virtual me.
A virtual me.
A projected me.
A projected me.
Who they wanted me to be.
Who they wanted me to be.
And I projected that.
And I projected that.
Instead of the real me.
Instead of the real me.
And that version of me.
And that version of me.
Still standing in front of me.
Still standing in front of me.
And I'm hiding.
And I'm hiding.
I totally honor.
I totally honor.
Everything in this picture.
Everything in this picture.
I totally honor.
I totally honor.
All the ways I protect myself.
All the ways I protect myself.
I totally honor.
I totally honor.
Seeing all of this clearly.
Seeing all of this clearly.
It's part of my healing journey.
It's part of my healing journey.
Okay, and take a nice deep breath. And so I often say to people, you know, when they see stuff like this and it gets really like, oh my God, I can't believe I've done all this. Seeing it is a huge step. Just seeing it, just observing it, you've made a huge leap forward. And just let that settle a little bit, that it's okay, because seeing it is really one of the biggest openings in most people. It's called consciousness, right? Most people go their whole life and stay unconscious of some of these vows. Okay, so I'm going to change the setting here, and you can star 7 if you want to unmute and give me some feedback on the picture and how that round felt for you. In the picture, I mean, look at the picture again and see if we've calmed it down a little bit or made it more clear.
Margaret?
Yes.
It keeps making it more clear to be invisible. I never tell my name because it would give you who I am. And that's one of the things that I've been getting from this class. But what I figured out, it was I could see myself sitting, hiding behind a chair in the family room with my family. I wasn't even in the picture with the family I was hiding behind. Okay. But it wasn't the family that caused the whole thing. It was this other little trauma that happened that I keep working on. But anyway, that really brought it very clear.
Yeah, so you've done some tapping around the trauma already.
Yeah, oh,
right?
Tons of it. Okay. I keep coming back to it.
And so when it kind of stays stuck, it means that there's a really firm vow around it that still feels like the correct vow to have.
Mm-hmm.
So what you can try doing is tapping on, I actually refuse to let go of this wound. Carolyn May says, when we have a wound like that, this little trauma, it's a wound for you, right?
Yep.
We will use it to justify thousands of things in our life, not just one or two things. So when you have the vow to be invisible, that vow is speaking the truth of a wound, not of your true truth.
Okay.
Okay. But energetically or inside of you, there's a strength behind this vow of no frickin' way I am not letting this vow go. Okay, so there's something in that.
Okay.
If I let this vow go, then fill in the blank. Okay.
Hi, Margaret?
Yes, when we have a little wound like that, even when we're not the type of victim-y type of people, it's really hard to give up our own little tiny victimhood even around one particular wound. It's hard to give it up. It just is.
Yep.
Right? Especially when we're the type of person that never lets themselves get seen as a victim. But this is our one little victim story that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's okay. It's just being conscious of it. So another way to tap on it is to say, even though there's a part of me that loves this story, loves the victim trauma drama of this story, wants to hold it and keep it forever and have me live through it, I'm just going to honor and see that. Okay?
Thank you.
Really, really hard to say, so I appreciate what you just revealed. Okay, there was somebody else speaking?
Listen, the beginning of this call, I had a hard time, like a few other callers, connecting to a lot of the vows that you were talking about, but as soon as you took us or me to an image and a picture, being in my family, the invisible came out brightly. It was the messages, you know, keep the energy in, why are you getting so excited about everything, being controlled and learning at an early age. So it's still there. So it's interesting because at first I thought, no, I can't resonate with any of this. But then it came out big, bright, and clear when you took us back to an image with our families. Very much so. We were taught how to behave and how not to behave, and lots of criticism. So yeah.
Thank you for mentioning that. And that's why I do a picture, because it's harder for a smart little analytical brain, because when we think about it, we go, no, I don't really remember that. That's not my issue. But when we look at the picture, our unconscious mind is painting it in a different way. So there's more information there. That's actually why I do it that way, because I've dealt with a lot of really smart people who go, no, that's not my issue. I don't connect with that.
yeah, that's one on the line right now. Yeah, thank you. No, it was good. It was very real.
Okay,
and it felt lighter at the end, too, so thank you.
Okay. So is anyone seeing a lot of pain in this picture that we need to do another round on?
Margaret?
Yes.
I did not see anything in the last. I didn't resonate with any of it, as I had said. But I clearly resonated with this as soon as we went around the table or in the room with the family. That became very clear and powerful.
Did you see what your vow was?
Oh, absolutely. Just keep your mouth shut so you'll blend in and you won't make or add to the chaos.
Yeah. When we didn't have obvious traumas, it's a little more subtle. And I had 7 brothers and sisters. So big family of 8, and it was the family comes first, which is a great thing, a wonderful thing. But if you're a charismatic leader child, there's no ability for you to be seen and special and different. The best way for me to live is to be a team player. That's the way to do it. I can be smart and a knowledgeable achiever. That's also accepted. But the needs of the group comes first. We all support each other. So a wonderful thing that can still create a vow. Okay. So even when we don't have a lot of trauma, that's why looking at the picture, we'll see things a little more subtly. Okay. So I want you to look at the picture again and just see how intense it is. I want you to see if you can look at that child and see how this is chafing them. How this is just not what they want. So if you could go underneath the vow and underneath the fear, how does the child feel about not being able to be them, having to be who they're supposed to be? Now, you might not see this if there's still a lot of intensity there. Okay, so I want you to see if your child is actually kind of ticked off. And sometimes it helps to imagine if your child would say out loud, I hate this. I want to be me. Would they say it or not?
I got that, Margaret. Okay. As soon as you said those words, it popped into my head, I'm pissed off.
Okay.
And I, on the other hand, Margaret, like, feel that after doing that first round that I'm just going to stay invisible. It's like not worth hassling over it. I'm just going to stay invisible. It's like way too hard.
Okay. Yeah, so that's what we call when depression comes in and says, I would be angry, but I've learned that there's nothing I can do to change it, so I'm going to depress that. That's how anger and depression are connected. It's like, I would be angry, but I've already learned it's not worth it. It's going to get me nowhere or more pain, so I'm just not even going to feel that.
What I get is anger is one of the key things that is required to put down and is not allowed. I mean, that especially. Oh, it's going to be anger, is it? That's what you better shut up about.
Yeah. You know, and I just had a private session with one of my inner circle people, and I had to put the speakerphone on so Reese could talk to both of us about anger, how anger is the energy that you need in your life to transform your life. So if you're not allowed to feel and channel anger, particularly at not being able to be you, somebody else holding you back, then you can't allow the energy that would come up and allow you to transform your life. The anger is a transformative energy in the positive.
I come from that I am going to defy them. I do have something to say. Showing them I have something to say that's worthwhile hearing, even though you didn't think so when I was very little.
Yeah.
And there's patience that it will still creep back in the back of my mind. I have to talk to that little child on a lot of occasions and remind her, you have something to say, and it's worthwhile hearing. People tell you it's worthwhile hearing.
So it might mean for you is that you oscillate from being quiet to then getting angry enough to then finally speaking your truth. You want to look and see if there's a pattern of going to the extremes where I need to have a lot of anger built up and a lot of unfairness built up where I finally say, that's it, listen to me.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what we want to get to for third chakra strength, but that we're there at a place that actually feels peaceful. So we're going to do another tapping round for this child and just voice some of this mix between angry, but it's not safe to be angry. So tapping through the points. And this time we're going to voice for the child. I'm afraid to be seen.
I'm afraid to be seen.
They don't want me to be me.
They don't want me to be me.
I'm afraid.
I'm afraid.
Because it's scary.
Because it's scary.
And they will hurt me.
And they will hurt me.
Or judge me.
Or judge me.
Or look at me.
Or look at me.
With that disappointed face.
With that disappointed face.
There's so many ways they show me.
There's so many ways they show me.
Who they want me to be.
They want me to be.
And that I can't actually be me.
And that I can't actually be me.
But I really don't like it. But I really don't like it. I really can't stand it.
I really can't stand it.
I actually hate it.
I actually hate it.
But it's not okay.
But it's not okay.
For me to be angry.
For me to be angry.
Seen as angry.
Seen as angry.
That'll get shut down even more.
That'll get shut down even more.
Just another way I can't be me.
Just another way I can't be me.
Just another way I don't get to have my feelings.
Just another way I don't get to have my feelings.
But I hate it.
But I hate it.
I really hate this.
I really hate this.
I just want to be me.
I just want to be me.
I just want to shine.
I just want to shine.
I just want to have my thoughts.
I just want to have my thoughts.
I just want to have my feelings.
I just want to have my feelings.
Even my anger.
Even my anger.
They get to be angry.
They get to be angry.
Why can't I have my anger?
Why can't I have my anger?
My feelings.
My feelings.
What I want.
What I want.
Isn't that important?
Isn't that important?
I'm really sick of it.
I'm really sick of it.
I'm really stuck.
I'm really stuck.
Nothing I can do.
Nothing I can do.
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid.
But I do hate it.
But I do hate it.
I don't show it.
I don't show it.
I may even smile.
I may even smile.
But I hate it.
But I hate it.
I feel it.
I feel it.
And I hate it.
And I hate it.
Okay, and take a nice deep breath. I want you to see that child again. How do they look now? If there wasn't anger before, did we dredge some up? And if there is anger there, if you're starting to see that, or if the child feels like, wow, you just honored and heard my anger, I want you to see if this will do something for your child. Okay, so I want you to have your child turn to the whole family group and tribe. And I want them to put up both hands, palm facing towards themselves. Holding up, child holding up both hands in front of them towards their family with the palms facing their own face and flip them all the bird. Just give them all the middle finger and say, that's it. I'm going to be me now. This is a highly technical, energetic, special healing that I've created. Called flipping off the tribe. And the funny thing about this is on some level, that's what the child needed to do, wanted to do. And as funny and crass as it is, it seems to be a metaphor that really works for, that's it, I'm done. I don't care anymore. I'm going to be me.
Margaret?
Which, by the way, is inner peace. Yes.
I had to stick out my tongue at them, too.
Nice.
Because that's more than the finger for me.
Okay. And how much did your child like getting permission to do that?
Oh, my God. She just jumped up behind that chair and went out in front and did it. She was so happy about it.
Sometimes things we least expected can bring a breakthrough. Okay.
Margaret.
Yes.
I'm still feeling a lot of pain, even with standing in front of my family and giving them the finger.
Where's the pain?
Where is the pain?
Yeah.
In my heart.
Okay. And so what's that sadness?
It's for not feeling free to actually step into it. You know, I'm mad that I have the vow of being invisible, but I'm still, there's so much sadness because I feel like I can't let it go.
Okay. Okay, and so, you know, I want you to do more tapping on this and really honor it. Try to honor it without any judgment. The reason why I said try to honor it without any judgment is because when we have that really strong rule keeper, it's not okay for us to be in a poor me. You're feeling your poor me. The poor me says, I don't think I can let this go. There's too much hurt, too much sadness. So that's your inner poor me. That's like, you don't even understand how wounded I am. And it's your calling to really honor yourself around this particular thing in a really gentle, compassionate way.
baby yourself about it.
Uh-huh. Okay, thanks.
Because when a lot of sadness comes up, it's like your energy system saying, finally, you're honoring my sob story that no one's ever honored. My own little sob story. When you honor it enough, it'll just naturally let go. Anyone else seeing a positive response on their child for the middle finger exercise?
Yeah, it was great. It was hilarious. I mean, I love doing that. Very funny. And a great release.
We're going to tap one more time, just for that child. So tapping through the points. I really don't like this.
I really don't like this.
And I'm putting my foot down now.
And I'm putting my foot down now.
My little seven-year-old foot.
My little seven-year-old foot.
I'm putting my foot down.
I'm putting my foot down.
And I'm saying that's it.
And I'm saying that's it.
The inner child within me.
The inner child within me.
Is putting their foot down.
Is putting their foot down.
That's it.
That's it.
I want to be me.
I want to be me.
And that's how it's going to be.
And that's how it's going to be.
I don't know who I am.
I don't know who I am.
I don't know how to do it.
I don't know how to do it.
I've played this game for a long time.
I've played this game for a long time.
And sometimes maybe I still will.
And sometimes maybe I still will.
But this is it.
But this is it.
I'm moving forward.
I'm moving forward.
I'm going to be me now.
I'm going to be me now.
Imperfect.
Imperfect.
And perfect.
And perfect.
I don't know how.
I don't know how.
But I'm doing it.
But I'm doing it.
I've really finally felt.
I've really finally felt.
How much I hate.
How much I hate.
Not being me.
Not being me.
So I'm putting my foot down.
I'm putting my foot down.
I'm done.
I'm done.
With all your criticism.
With all your criticism.
And everything you want me to be.
And everything you want me to be.
For you.
For you.
And I'm going to be me now.
And I'm going to be me now.
Perfect and imperfect.
Perfect and imperfect.
I'm putting my foot down.
I'm putting my foot down.
Because I don't want to go another day.
Because I don't want to go another day.
Not being me.
Not being me.
I'd rather die.
I'd rather die.
Than go another minute.
Than go another minute.
Not being me.
Not being me.
Because not being me.
Because not being me.
Is like a slow death.
Is like a slow death.
And I've lived that enough.
And I've lived that enough.
I'm putting my foot down.
I'm putting my foot down.
I'm flipping everybody off.
I'm flipping everybody off.
I'm done.
I'm done.
With all your pressure.
With all your pressure.
All your judgment.
All your judgment.
All your requests.
All your requests.
That I be what you want.
That I be what you want.
It's my turn now.
It's my turn now.
I am all grown up.
I am all grown up.
And it's time for me.
And it's time for me.
Okay, take a nice deep breath. And so that's the second chakra. I'm so freaking sick of this energy. Where we really voice, I'm really feeling how much I do not like not being myself. Because under that, I remember how much I really want to be myself. And that energy flows up to third chakra, and we put our foot down and we say, that is it. I'm going out into the world as freaking me. I don't even know who that is, but I'm doing it. And so this is where I say to people, you can't think down from your head, oh, I should have more confidence. Oh, I should have more self-esteem. You can't think it down. It has to rise up from a place of, that's it. I'm ready to be me now because I've heard the truth of how much I can't stand not being me. A little bit different than saying to ourselves, I really need to find a way to have more self-esteem. Different angle. Okay, so how did that round feel? And I want you to look at the picture and just let that child grow up into the adult version of you. See how it looks. How do you look in the picture, having voiced all that? And I want you to keep the family in the picture. But now your adult self, how do you look standing around all those people? And as an adult, you can stop flipping them off if you'd like.
Or not.
Or not. True, Bev. Some families still need a good flipping off.
Margaret, I really appreciate this, but the comment that I'm going to be myself even though I don't know who that is,
is very helpful because it definitely hits the concepts that I, you know, the principles that I hold. And I want to be myself, but I don't even know who that is.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was very helpful because I was really getting tangled in the principles behind which I was trapped. That is to say, it's not appropriate to be more than your siblings, to be brighter or sparklier or funnier or louder or prettier or anything, which I believed, right?
And this is how the first chakra vow, which is that vow to not surpass your family, right,
mm-hmm.
comes up into the third chakra. So those lower, everything gets built on that. So tapping on this showed you right back to that. It's really the first chakra vow, which is do not step outside your tribe.
Yeah.
I mean, for anybody who tells you they know who they are completely in denial mm-hmm. or they're totally insane, okay? None of us know who we are. And why would we want to? We are an ever-changing target.
Mm-hmm.
You have never felt the same thing twice. You've never thought the same thing twice. You are unfolding and fresh every day. If you think you've thought the same thing twice, that means there's a record player going on in your head.
Mm-hmm.
When we're really in the present moment, every friggin' present moment is different. You've never felt the same way about it. And so the positive vow that we make at the third chakra, which you set me up perfectly for, is, yes, it's to be ourselves and to carry our power, but it's to also recognize that who we are is unfolding and fresh and alive in every moment, and to discover that.
Oh, that's brilliant. The thing is that I spend most of my time doing that with children, helping them to get that, but I haven't really been able to do it for myself, so I really appreciate it.
Okay. Anybody else? How did that feel? How do you look in the picture? Yes.
What I'm seeing is remembering that when I was young, I used to sort of swing back and forth between being withdrawn and throwing tantrums. And I now understand the tantrums a lot more as you talk about anger. So when I flip the bird at my family, it felt mild compared to the tantrums I used to scream. Like it felt like ineffective and meek compared to what I remember as a child when I would throw a tantrum, start screaming, because I felt so compressed and tucked into this little be quiet, don't disturb. And it's really helping me to see that. And
yeah.
Doing this last round, I could still feel a lot of those, like it didn't feel peaceful, and maybe that's what the next tapping will be. I still felt a lot of that, even as I was doing it, that going back and forth between the withdrawing and the anger. I feel both of those coming up in waves.
So I want you to tap on those, because what happens is that what you made a vow about then is to always be in battle about this, is to oscillate between battle. And so for some people, they either throw tantrums or they were really rebellious. And that's that charismatic leader quality, to go from a poor me about it to an enforcer about it. But there's no middle ground.
Right.
Exactly. There's no core soul quality of the charismatic leader who is just doing what they do. Right, just feels totally free and passionate and does what they do regardless of anybody. So the inner peace part of it, if you ever read Deepak Chopra's How to Know God, the third level of spirituality he calls inner peace, and that's the third chakra. So it means that when we get this energy up where we say, that's it, I am done. I am done catering to everybody's opinion of me, what everybody else wants, and fear about their criticism and what's going to happen and whose feelings I'm going to hurt or whatever. When we really have enough energy, which is often in the form of anger, to let that go, suddenly there's peace, because you're free of switching who you are based on everybody else's opinion. Still be loving, still care about people, but recognize that their opinions of you, their judgments of you, who they want you to be, has nothing to do with you. They have no idea who you are. They're completely in their own world. We all are. It's just their stuff. Would there be peace, more peace for you?
we use that energy to come up and we get to inner peace when we actually really do start to let go of taking other people's stuff personally. How freeing would it be to actually care less about other people's opinions of us? Pretty dang-a-lang-a freeing.